Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 13th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss cash grain markets with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a new survey shows a decrease in corn acres this season. USDA numbers released yesterday agree with that assessment and show an expected record-breaking farm income for 2008. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many other ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, I'll take you back through the marketing plan Daryl Good laid out for us last Friday. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $9.91.5, down 15.5. July futures down 21 at $9.09. In Minneapolis at the Grain Exchange, nearby futures moved the 90-cent trading limit higher today. March corn futures at $4.97, down 3/4. The May down a penny and a quarter at $5.09.75. And July at 5:20 settled 1.75 lower for the day. December contract at 5.19 1/4, down a penny. March soybean futures 7.5 cents higher at 13.28 1/2. The May futures at 13.47 1/2, up 8.5. And July contract at $13.56 1/4, that finished 7 cents higher. November soybeans at $12.71 finished unchanged on the afternoon. Bean meal futures at $3.51.80, down 50 cents for the day. And bean oil futures at $56.26, up 60. You're listening to WILL Radio at willag.org. Here are the numbers as they finished at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for the day. Nearby live cattle at $91.50, down 42.5. April futures at $94.25, down 75. March feeder cattle at 104.95, down 80 cents for the day. April futures at 108.72.5, down 102.5. February lean hogs at 58.12.5, 45 cents lower. Outside markets, March crude oil at 93.27, 49 higher. April futures at 93.38, up 52. The CRB index now at 376.97, up 160. And the dollar at 76.38. is just about even for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,509 is 136 points higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast with the two-state region looks like. Tonight in northwestern Illinois, it'll become mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 12 in northern Indiana to 24 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow in northern and west central Illinois, mostly cloudy with a chance of some snow showers, possibly mixed with rain in the north central parts of Illinois. In the south and in central Indiana, sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 28 in northwestern Illinois to around 50 in the southwestern part of the state. The extended forecast looks like this. A one-day warm-up on Thursday will followed by another shot of Arctic air. Temperatures on Saturday morning and will drop below zero in northwestern Illinois. Precipitation will be relatively light over the next 5 days. The first round on Thursday through Friday afternoon will reach up to 1/4 inch in some northern sections. The next storm system over the weekend will focus the heaviest precipitation near the Ohio River.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On a Wednesday afternoon, time to look at the ag futures market. And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services joins us, as he does each and every Wednesday. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. And I wanted to say a special thanks to Lincoln Land Energy for having Dave Hightower and myself down as special guests on Monday. A lot of fun. And wow, what a week in here, Todd.
Yeah, what a week. I bet you did have fun down at Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois. The ethanol plant, one of the first in the business and probably one of the best in the business, I would think, in the nation, don't you
agree? Well, they're wonderful people, and they rolled out the red carpet for us, and we had a wonderful time visiting with everyone in that area.
Tell me first off, instead of turning to the Chicago Board of Trade, how liquidation process, I suppose I'll call it that, is happening on the squeeze at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, a 90-cent move in the nearby contract.
Well, things are more predictable. They did close 90 cents up in the March futures contract, but we do understand that there is some certain things going on. For example, we could bring in wheat from Germany into the U.S., at least pencil-wise, at cheaper values than U.S. origin, and it would work financially and basis-wise. So, you know, that's a signal. Other things are predictable in the fact that we had this wheat going up, and it would pull Kansas City wheat and pull Chicago wheat up and then pull the new crops, and we're basically seeing each commodity exchange, you know, function, and that's part of the process that needed to take place. Limits were 90 cents a bushel today, and the market traded freely, Todd. And, you know, we are seeing things like reports that indicate that, for example, wheat, Russia has 60 million acres of wheat that could go into production. This could add 25 to 30 million tons of spring wheat into the world market. We do get the feeling that other countries are talking about production coming on stream, Australia, Argentina. We're even talking about a wheat crop, of course, coming on in the United States. The function is, you know, there's still this substitution of hard wheat for some of the spring wheat. There's blending going on at the flour mills. The reserve wheat, I think it was about 899,000 bushels of Durham wheat was sold by the grain reserve, and I think 3 million bushels of hard spring was sold. So the market seems to be functioning. It's a little more orderly. So some of the pressure has been taken off of that market, but it's still very strong.
Turn your attention to what's happening in the corn and the soybean markets, and maybe we should start with yesterday's release of the USDA numbers from ERS. I know you probably talked a bit about those with Dave Dickey this morning. They're showing beginning stocks for the 2008 at 1897, for 2009 at 1327 for corn, and planted acres at 88 million for this year, next year at 91 million. What do you think of the numbers?
Well, you know, they're logical. And, you know, when we, early in the season, we did get this feeling that people would back off of corn acres and plant more soybeans. The seed people are indicating that as far as more soybean seed plantings. My general impression is, of course, the expensive fertilizer is another factor for that. When I sit down with a farmer in East Central Illinois that planted more corn last year, there is some conversation that we will back off corn acres and plant more soybeans. But in some of the go-go areas, it's still corn on corn. Corn is our business, and particularly in some of the very rich Drummer Flanagan soils in Illinois and Iowa, this triple stacked hybrid is a factor. People bought their fertilizer early, and they're born for corn, so to speak, and that trend is going to continue. I get the feeling that the March Planting Intentions Report will possibly be a little friendly to the corn market, but at the same time, we do get information from, like, the New York Times that indicate a very large acreage of new crop acreage is going to go into production in South America. forest fires, burning of the Amazon forest, and as a result of that, we do feel that soybean acreage will come on. That acreage won't show up until next May and July of next year, but with basis levels like they are, $1.40, $50 under, you know, there'll probably be some beans out of South America that comes into the U.S. So it's going to be a fun time playing this acreage game. And, you know, the marketplace is basically telling, you know, the corn and soybean and wheat traders that the U.S. does need another 5 to 8 million acres of planted acreage, and this is what's going to keep probably the corn market on the stronger side of the equation as we go into the spring planting time frame.
You know, I think we've had conversations about this in the past. The last time that soybean was imported into the United States, that particular company didn't fare very well after that fact. Is this different because the price of corn and beans are so very high, or does it, or I guess, who do you think
well,
might be the first
one to pull? Usually happen, there's a company on the East Coast, Savannah, I think it is, that they bring the beans in, and they go up, you know, they bring them in and service a couple of soybean plants on the East Coast, and some of them come up the Ohio River Valley, and there was one processing plant in I think, Kentucky that took the beans. What generally happens, of course, is this spreading of optional origin sales. You know, an exporter basically sells beans to China or a foreign country, and it's either shipped out of the U.S. or South America, and it's they figure the basis levels, and that's how it's sold. And you know, if you're going to be in the grain business, you have to offer that, or you're not in the grain business. So that's the first way, is optional origin sales. And then if the basis is too high, and transportation does warrant it, it will be done. It's almost like 900,000 bushels of durum wheat isn't a lot of wheat, but if it's even 5,000 bushels, it's the thought process, and it does make someone who's long a futures contract in Chicago rather nervous. So it is a function of the marketplace, and I'm sure that these commodity fund traders are going to be at least brought about the awareness of that type of trading.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us for the
profitable day today, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In just a few moments, Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, a survey conducted by Iowa-based AgriSource of customers in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, and Nebraska indicates producers will plant 88.6 million acres of corn and 70.8 million acres of soybeans this spring. Meanwhile, USDA's Economic Research Service yesterday put 2008 corn acres at 88 million, with 2008 ending stocks of 1.327 billion bushels. The ERC projects soybean acres at 71 million, with 2008 ending stocks of 219 million bushels. USDA says net farm income will reach a record $92.3 billion in 2008, thanks to a strong farm sector supported by overseas demand, high crop prices, and low ending stocks for many commodities. The previous high was set in 2007 at $88.7 billion. USDA says production value in 2008 will be $175.5 billion, almost $26 billion more than in 2007. USDA projects direct government payments in 2008 will total $13.1 billion, up from $11.7 billion in 2007. The USDA projection runs through 2017. USDA analyst David Stallings.
We see corn prices pretty much remaining above $3.50 a bushel throughout the projections period. We see wheat prices, you know, remaining above $4.50 a bushel. We see sorghum and barley prices pretty high. We see soybean prices remaining above $8.50 a bushel. And we see rice prices remaining high.
USDA says total production expenses will rise in 2008 by 8.6% to an all-time high of $279.2 billion. Compromise language proposed by House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson in the Farm Bill Conference Committee would end crop subsidies for people with an adjusted gross income above $500,000 a year, unless at least two-thirds of that income is from agriculture. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says Peterson's plan, at least at the moment, does not have traction.
He needs to be applauded for trying to keep ahead of the game and work out what he can, but he's also got to take into consideration that there's other conferees and there's other interest groups that are involved, and most of them are the big farm groups representing millions of farmers. Nobody's going to give us a take-it-or-leave-it sort of an approach, because don't forget the White House and the Speaker Pelosi tried that on the stimulus bill, and it didn't work.
The Peterson package would also drop the idea of higher subsidy rates for wheat and soybeans and the loan deficiency bonus and limit enrollment in the Conservation Reserve Program to 32 million acres nationwide. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is the Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and Commodity Week and a lot of other ag programming that you can listen to anytime you'd like. Just visit willag.org. Now up next, the ag economists at the University of Illinois have been thinking seriously about how corn farmers should protect income this growing season. And they've come up with what they consider a pretty solid plan of action. We'll let University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good tell you just how he sees the market and what farmers might do to lock in protection and, quite honestly, profits for the coming season.
Personally, I don't see a collapse in these markets coming. If we do see weakness, it's going to be as we confirm that we've got a pretty big crops coming on, but we're several months away from that happening. So it appears right now that we are going to have very, very high insurance prices for the month of February. I mean, we're just got 1 week of data, basically, but, you know, 1280 soybeans, 5 1/4 corn prices. So I think the most important decision is the revenue insurance. Get that product in place. And I kind of feel like that gives you a highly subsidized put option on your revenue for the year ahead. And then think about what risk exposure do I still have that is not covered by insurance. Depending on the product that you choose, there will be some bushels not covered, depending on your level of coverage that you choose. What should you do with those bushels if you haven't already sold some 2008 crop? You may have 10, 15, 20% of the crop that you may want to consider just going ahead and selling at these extremely high prices and take care of the risk on those bushels. The other risk you have, it seems remote at this point, is that on some of the revenue products, the CRC and then the GRIP, there is a maximum price movement from the spring level that is covered by insurance. Anything more than a dollar and a half move from the spring price to the fall price is not then covered by insurance. Do you want to consider taking care of that risk? I mean, is there some risk if we have a $5 spring price on corn? Is there a risk prices could go below 3.5 by harvest time? At this juncture, it doesn't seem likely, but there is some probability, and one might consider, say, buying some 350 put options for 5 or 6 cents. And so then you're kind of covered. You say, I've got my uninsured bushel sold. I've got my uninsured price decline covered. And my insurance covers everything else. And now I just kind of relax, see what the spring and summer brings. If we move into higher price levels, then I've got to decide, yeah, I start selling some crop because I'm now moving above my guaranteed level. But I think that gives us a real luxury this year, if you will. Can manage risk pretty completely and pretty much guarantee those high revenues that are implied by current prices. So I think we just buckle up and see what the growing season brings here.
Goodwood used the same strategy for soybeans. Use the crop insurance revenue products, sell the uninsured bushels at, say, $12.50 or better, and then, while they're more expensive, post options at the $3 crop insurance limit. That might be puts at $9.50. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for our daily look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
A lot of sunshine out today. I suppose farmers have been busy trying to move grain around just a bit. Is that right?
That's correct. It kind of slowed down yesterday. We had a couple guys that braved the elements. I'm not really sure why, but they did. And today we've had a lot of truck traffic, and, yeah, these guys are hauling out of the bins, and most of it's still on contract, but you know, they're not beating the door down, but they're sure hauling.
Are they hauling and hollering, I suppose, looking for another $5 market for their cash grain?
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. I had a lot of firm offers for $5, and last Wednesday, I wiped everything off, got them all covered, and then, of course, we got there again Friday, and, of course, it hasn't gotten back there since then. So since the sell-off, they've initiated some more offers for $5 corn and $13 beans. They always use their previous highs for benchmarks. So it's been pretty quiet as far as farmer selling. But if we get back up there again, well, there's no doubt there will be some more sold.
And tell me about basis at this point.
The basis levels have started to improve a little bit. You know, the elevators were really putting a lot of trains on rail. That's kind of let up a little bit, and the Gulf basis is getting a little hotter. So, yeah, rail basis is snugging up a little bit on the nearby. Nothing significant, but at least it is starting to get a little bit better. And the closer we get to going back in the field, I'm sure that'll even get better.
And then if you take a look at what's been happening to the southeast, you talked a bit about your rail bids, but do you expect that to continue to be good through the next month?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's still a good demand down there. And like I say, when it dries up out off the farm and they slam the bin doors, and we don't have a huge book on for February. Then we've got a little bit on for March, so you can see a little deterioration of the basis then. But after that, yeah, I think it'll bounce back pretty quickly, especially if demand stays as good as it is right now.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn today is $4.79. Beans are $12.73. New crop wheat is $7.99 today.
Thank you much, Kay.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There, under the USDA Reports site, you'll find the numbers from yesterday's USDA Reports. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' members of Congress are asking the Bush administration to revisit the decision to scrap the Future Gen power plant project slated for Mattoon. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson says the entire group believes the Energy Department's announcement that it was dropping support for the coal plant was misguided and misinformed. The $1.8 billion power plant was criticized as being well over budget. With the primaries over, Illinois lawmakers have returned to work, but they're likely to focus on getting organized for the spring session today. The major work probably won't begin until Governor Rob Blagojevich delivers his State of the State speech and budget proposal next week. Normally, lawmakers would be getting back to work after a long absence, but last year's legislative session was so difficult that some issues dragged over until this year. Police have arrested a 30-year-old man on murder charges in connection with the shooting deaths of two men at a Bloomington apartment. Police say the shootings also left two others wounded and stemmed from a verbal disagreement that turned into a fight. Investigators say the incident was not gang-related, not directly drug-related, and was not a random act. Today, police arrested Michael Brown of Bloomington. No word yet from authorities on the victims' names, and investigators didn't release any other details on the motive for the shooting. The Illinois Coalition for the Fair Sentencing of Children is urging lawmakers to require parole hearings for minors after 15 years and to make the change apply to young people already behind bars. A new study finds more than 100 people who committed crimes as youths are serving life sentences in Illinois with no possibility of parole. Some Indiana House members are asking tough questions about a proposed bill to crack down on companies that hire illegal immigrants. Representative Trent Van Haften, a Democrat from Mount Vernon, questions whether the bill would really help solve Indiana's problems with illegal immigration. Van Haften is chairman of the House Public Policy Committee, which met Wednesday to consider the bill. Van Haften says the committee might vote on it at a future meeting. The committee could also change the proposal. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest and around the nation, please.
Well, it looks like we're going to take a little bit of a break from all the precipitation we've seen in recent weeks. That's good news. The bad news is we still have cold air coming at us. Another round of it expected to come through the region as we get done with the weekend coming up. We've got a storm system that will form down in the Delta and move northeastward from there, ending up in the northeast corner of the country. And as it passes through on the southeast fringe of the Midwest, we'll end up pulling some of the cold air down back across the region from Canada. And so we'll have a nice little chill again across the region.
Yeah. How about to the southwest? How are they faring at this point? And maybe the Great Plains, some of the hard red and spring red wheat growing areas.
Well, it certainly looks as though hard red wheat country is going to continue in their bias for dryness as we move along over the next several weeks. It's very typical of La Nina events to leave the central and southwestern part of the U.S. plains drier than usual, and I think we're looking at a very classic La Nina influence on North American weather right now. So that means that it won't be absolutely dry, but what precipitation does move across that region is unlikely to produce a substantial amount of moisture, leaving us with a growing concern, if you will, over the future crop conditions in those areas from southwestern Kansas into western Texas in particular. For the northern U.S. plains, we're seeing an increase in storminess, a greater amount of snowfall moving across the region on a periodic basis, and this is going to end up translating into a better environment when we get into the spring planting season, which I realize is several weeks away. But we need to start moistening up the region in order to prepare for planting, and this is a step in the right direction. But it's going to be a while before they see any warm weather.
Turning your attention to South America, sure looks like if you're in the northern parts of that continent that you might be getting a little rainfall, but the further south you go, the drier it gets.
Well, that would be true. I think we've had quite a bit of excessive moisture in portions of Brazil here in the last couple of weeks, but we are seeing a temporary break in that pattern. We are seeing less frequent, less significant precipitation across the heart of the country's major soybean production regions. So that's a good sign, at least for right now. We'll see a little bit of an improving trend in soil conditions and also with crop maturation, and some early harvesting will begin to resume again. This will last for about a week, and then starting at about the middle part of next week and continuing into the following weekend, we're going to see a gradual deterioration in weather once again with increasing frequency and increasing significance of rainfall right across the heart of Brazil's crop country once again. So we may not be through worrying about that harvest progress, but at least for now we're going to see a short-term improvement. And you're right, it is a little bit drier further to the south and west in parts of southern Brazil. There has been some timely rain. Crops are actually in very good condition in Rio Grande do Sul and Paraguay. But over in Argentina, it looks like we've got still some dryness persisting in parts of southwestern Buenos Aires. And over the next 5 to 6 days, we're probably going to see additional drying occur across that country. We're going to see temperatures turn a little bit warmer than usual. It's going to put a lot of pressure on rainfall that is advertised for Monday through Thursday of next week. Most of that precipitation will be scattered thunderstorms, some of which will produce some locally heavy rainfall. The majority of the precipitation, though, will be relatively light.
Thanks much, Drew. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This has been the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason.